Man, he is definitely faithful. Let's go ahead and get our Bibles open to the book of Revelation, chapter number 3. Revelation, chapter number 3. So this is the first time since the beginning of summer that we are not doing the same topic all throughout the day on a Sunday. And we might come back and do that again sometime in the future. We enjoy taking one topic or one passage of scripture and preaching on it in Sunday school, Sunday morning, and Sunday night. But today there's three separate topics, three different specific things that the Lord's laying out there for us today through the preaching and teaching of his word. We are going back to one of the weeks. One of the weeks we looked about at the different seven churches of Asia, and we looked at Revelation chapter number 1, chapter number 2, chapter number 3. Is what we've been going through. And I was going to just condense all the churches or five of the churches together on one Sunday night, but we've been going through on Wednesday nights these different churches. And the Lord kind of laid upon my heart, especially with the upcoming revival, to do the next church, the church in Sardis, here this morning. So to remind you that a little bit of what's being said, these are actually letters that are written to specific churches. And these are practical letters because they were written to real churches with real needs in this real time period. But also these letters are prophetic too, that many commentators, as they look at it, there's different time periods that these different churches represented, different church ages, but also very practically too. And the idea that we can apply these things to our own life and to our own church's life. And we began talking about how these letters are written to pastors and they're written about churches. And we talked about, hey, could you imagine if God was going to write a letter to our church? What do you think it would say? And I thought about that and prayed about that and considered, what do you think the Lord would say? And many of these letters, he commends them. He says, hey, I like this about your church. What would he say he liked about our church? And then he says sometimes he would condemn them for certain things. He would say, hey, these are some things that you need to work on. They had left their first love. They had let false teaching come in. All these different ones, we've been looking at those. Then we also see as it goes along, as the story goes along, that there's times when he always tells them to repent. He says, I want you to get it right. It's not the idea that he's writing these letters to say, hey, you're off the shelf, never ever going to be used of God. But instead, he tells them, hey, look, repent, get your heart right. And then he describes himself, talks about an overcomer. He talks about himself in there. And at the end of each of the things, he says in verse number 6 in chapter 3, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the church saith unto the churches. And what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He desires that we be listening and that we would respond. And so today we're going to look at a church. The Church of Sardis. And as we consider this, I think it's an interesting passage. And it talks about a church who thought they were okay, but God looked at them differently. It uses the word name over and over. And that's where we're going to take the context of the message at and look at these different things. First thing I want you to think about is there's different things that people view themselves as. First, you think about, you see the person we think we are. Many times we look at ourselves and say, this is who I am. Other times, there are the way that other people think about you. Then there is the God who knows who we really are. Think about this, three different groups. You see the person we think we are, the person who thinks what we are, and then there is a God out there who truly knows what we are. Here, the Church of Sardis had quite a reputation. They were known for being a church that was alive. And if these letters were being written, we try to make it more personal and say, what would God write about you in your letter? What would God say, hey, these are the things that I commend about you, and these are the things that need to change? What would God say in your letter? These are the things I want you to work on, and these are the things that you please me with. This is how you bring glory to my name. Here in this letter, he goes and he writes something, and look what it says in verse number 1. And as the beginning, he gives a description of Jesus. And it says, the angel of the church, the angel refers to the pastor of the church in Sardis, write these things, save he that hath the seven spirits of God. That refers to the Holy Spirit, refers to his complete work. And he says, and the seven stars. So he's referring to the seven stars, talking about the pastors of the church, as we learned in chapter number 1. He says, I know thy works. Once again, I know thy works is something that is so convicting. He knows everything we've done. Everything we've said, everything we thought, and even knows our attitude. So he's looking at this church. He says, I know your works. He sees it all. He knows the pastors. He knows our hearts. He knows our attitudes. He knows why we're here. He says, I know thy works. And he continues on, that thou hast a name that thou livest. He says, you have a name that's among everyone. You're alive. You're a thriving church. And I can imagine if the church of Sardis had known, hey, or they were asked this question, what would God write about you? They would probably think, oh, God would be really pleased. It'd be like the church of Philadelphia that we're going to learn about on Wednesday night. That they have only good things to say, nothing bad to say. But that's not how God sees them. Once again, it's how they think about themselves. We're a church that's doing great and fine. We don't need to change anything. And then you see the way that other people see you. It says, thou hast a name. And that's the title of this morning's message. Thou hast a name that thou livest, that you're alive. But then we see how God looks at them and are dead. Can you imagine that? Out there, the world looks at them and says, hey, there's a church that's alive. There's a church that's serving God. There's a church that is doing things for God. And there's a church that is seeing God work and seeing God move. They have as good testimony amongst the crowds and amongst the people. That's a good church. But God looks at them and says, you're dead. You need something. There's something that is woefully wrong in your life. There's something that's definitely wrong. There's something that's lacking here inside this church, he says, in the church of Sardis. I know thy works. What others perceive of them versus what God says about them. Think about that. In verse number one, what others perceive about them, that thou hast a name that thou livest. That what others think about them versus what God knows about them. They had a name that they were full of life, but God knew who they really were. So my encouragement today is, as a pastor thinks, that sounds really encouraging, is in our lives, in our hearts, sometimes we grow cold. Sometimes we get away from the Lord. Sometimes churches are full of people that are not rekindled, and they get this description of being dead and the idea that the fact that they're not doing anything for God. The spiritual temperature is very, very cold. And I don't want a church like that. And I'm not even saying that our church is like that. But as we've taken every single one of these churches and we looked at it and we apply it personally, let's look deep inside and say, hey, what do we think of ourselves? Okay. Yeah, there are some things that God would say were good and some things that God would say was bad. What do other people say? And you know what? I have a lot of people when I'm out knocking on doors or talking to people or even people throughout our country that know our church and says, you know what? That's a really good church. But then most importantly, what does God know about us? It reminds me of when he was talking to the Pharisees and he talked about how they had white sepulchers, but they were full of dead men's bones. On the outside, everything looked good. On the outside, everything looked right. On the outside, it seems like everything was going really, really well. But does it really matter if it looks right to everybody else if God says that we're dead? Does it really matter if it looks like we have our lives that are put together inside, outside, and everybody else says, hey, there's a family or there's a person that loves the Lord, where inside everything is falling apart? That's what he's writing to this church. And he's not writing this church specifically. He didn't put it in the Bible so that way we could learn and say, boy, that church of Sardis has some problems with it. No, it's so we can apply it to our own hearts and apply it to our own lives and say, during this time period, during this day and time period, that there was a problem and they looked good and everything looked right, but there was something that was lacking. Remember, what others perceive of them versus what God says about them. So there's an emphasis on a name. Let's consider this for a second. Our testimony personally and our church's testimony, these are things that are good. You'd be amazed some of the things I've been called over the years. It's amazing. And it's okay. I know that sometimes people try to be nice and they might say swelling words that make things sound so sweet and personal. I had one lady tell me, she was very sincere. She was an older lady. She says, you are the most Christ-like person I've ever met. I'm thinking, boy, you don't know me at all. And then I've had other people say, you're a hypocrite. And I have people say that things I wouldn't say personally, whether in church or outside. And I've been called some pretty nasty names over the years. You know, the names that are there, having a good testimony is important. Don't get me wrong. The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The greatest name is not simply a good name with a man, but a good name with God. It isn't that what others think doesn't matter because we influence others. We share a testimony. We have a testimony. But we must put an emphasis on what does God say about me? And not what does God that I think about myself that God would say, because I believe this church or the Church of Ephesus or many of these other churches were surprised. Can you imagine getting a letter from God and the pastor getting up and reading it, and it says, thou hast the name that thou livest. And you hear people say, amen, I'm sure. I don't know if they said amen back in Bible times, but they would be excited. That's right. That's God. He's happy with us. And then the next phrase, and thou art dead. I can imagine the hush that fell across the crowd. He must have misread that. Let's keep on going. Verse number 2, he talks about what should be done. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. So there are some good things that remain that are ready to die, but they're going to be just like everything else. It's going to continue down the same pathway. The church is dead. And even though there are some things that are still good, there's still some programs, there's still some people there, but they're getting ready to die unless something changes. Then it continues on. It says, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. He said, there's a problem with your works. Someday we'll stand before the Lord. One of those days, one of those all the day sermons that I was going to try to do. And once again, there was a list of them. That's why we might do it again someday, was going to talk about future things. And we were going to look at, and Sunday morning, we're going to talk about the different judgments in Sunday school. We're going to talk about judgment seat of Christ and also the great white throne judgment all in the same Sunday school hour. Boy, that wouldn't have been long enough. And then on morning time, we were going to talk about going to either hell and then heaven in the evening time or switching it around. Lord just never gave me peace about doing those. Maybe someday he will. But at the same time, we're going to stand before God someday. We're going to stand before God in a judgment. That's why it should matter what he says about us more than what an individual say. 2 Corinthians 5:10 puts it this way, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he have done, whether it be good or bad. So there's an emphasis that's placed upon a name here. And there's an emphasis that's made. Look what it says in verse number 3. Remember, therefore, that thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names. We see the word names again here in verse number 4. Even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. So we have a group of people that are still doing what's right. There's a remnant that's there. There's some people that are living for the Lord. Even amongst a church that he says is dead, he says there's still some. And that they should walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name. Once again, you have the word name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And he finishes that. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord, let all of us that have an ear, and all of us do, some may not be able to hear as well as others, but Lord, we can all hear some. Lord, allow the Holy Spirit of God to do the speaking to the heart even more than to the ear. Lord, take the words that are said. Lord, help them to be your words. Help them to be what you once said, Lord, and help it make a difference. Help there not to be one person here, not one person in this room that's just going to disconnect, doesn't have any interest in what's being said. But Lord, that each of us would have an interest in hearing what your word says and applying these things to our lives. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look at this word name, and we're going to look at verse number 1 for a second. Then we're going to look at verse number 4, and then we're going to look at verse number 5, the different names that are mentioned. First thing is, thou hast a name that liveth, or the name that everyone else thinks about you. The name that others know you by. We live in a society today that is, there's a lot of social media out there. I think I want to say thank you for all those who came to the wedding yesterday. It was a great blessing and encouragement to see all those. But I also was very encouraged by the many people watching live stream. People came up to me today. The service was wonderful. It was beautiful. And all those different things. I think it went really well. And all those different things. But we live in a day and time where people can be watching something all the way across the world. It's amazing that through the live stream. Also, another thing that's become popular today is social media. And there's another thing that comes popular is filters. And what's filters? It's to try to make people look better than what they really look. I mean, you go in there and you see a picture of somebody online and you think, wow, that person is very attractive in what the world's, and they may have done this or that and change. You see them in person and say, I wonder what happened to them. It's just the reality. We live in that Instagram, social media, Facebook time, all those things. None of those filters make me look any good. So I like those filters that make your face kind of go a little, you know, weird and different things like that, or makes you really big or really skinny. There's different things. But we live in a society where we can even make ourselves look really good. We live in a world where we can make ourselves look good many times. And like I said, I've seen people and they look one way online and then they look another way. Now, I don't encourage dating websites, and I've never been on a dating website. But at the same time, and thankful I don't have to, praise the Lord for that. If Andrew takes, I'll just leave that. Andrew's been picked on a lot this week because of the fact that he's single. And all the guys inside the groomsmen's, they all were either married or had significant others, blah, blah, blah. So they've been messing with him all week long. But we're waiting for what the Lord wants for his life, right? If God wants him to get married, praise the Lord. If God doesn't, then that's he's joining a really special club, right? So there's a couple of men in our church that joke with him and says, you're just going to join the club with us. The guy's only 21 years old and they're already writing it off. He's never going to get married. But you know, sometimes on those dating websites, they have times and people, they post certain pictures and you meet them in person and says, you're not the same person. I've even read stories where people post pictures and then somebody of the opposite sex shows up. You're thinking it's going to be a lady and it's a man sitting there. You can make yourself look really different than what you are. Even if you dress up a man as a woman, he's still a man. And the reality is we can make ourselves look really good. But it matters what God says and what God sees. Remember, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. While it is important to have a good testimony among men, it does not start there. Our testimony, remember, is a Christian testimony. It cannot start with the outside. It must start with the work that's done on the inside. To really be a Christian testimony means it's Christ-like. As they were called Christians first in Antioch, not because they looked like it, instead it's because they acted like Christ. Matthew 12, verse 34 says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It's what's inside that matters. Yes, what's right inside will come out. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We should not be so concerned what others know about us more than what Christ knows about us. One of the most convicting sayings or words is when someone asked me, or when they were reading and I was thinking about it, it was powerful when we said it to one another. And when they said, do you care more about others knowing about your sin or God knowing about it? I mean, you're sinning against God. He's the holy God. We do so much in elaborate schemes to be able to make sure no one else knows I watched this or I listened to this or that I was a part of this. We'll cover up everything else, but we forget that the Almighty God knows all of it. We should care more about what God says and what God thinks and what man thinks. And this first point is what others know about us. Thou hast a name that liveth. Being a true follower of Jesus Christ is more than just bearing his name. It's not enough to say that you're a Christian. We must be a Christ follower. God knows us. He does. He knows everything about us. Let this convict our hearts. Let us not be guilty of what it says there. Everybody else says you're alive, but God says you're dead. Let that not be our heart. Second thing, let that not be our church testimony either. Let that not be about us. If there's a church full of dead people, you know what's going to happen? It's going to be a dead church. Second thing I want you to see here is the name that God knew. And I don't know about you. I was encouraged by this, a little confused by this, but a little encouraged here too. Remember when it says here in verse number 4, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. So what this is encouraging to me, because even in the most defiled and the most dead churches, it says there's a remnant. There's a God always has his people. I know Elijah thought he was the only one, but there were 7,000 that didn't bow down their knee. Now, don't get me wrong. This is not true about all churches, because all places that call themselves churches are not churches. There's people out there that don't preach and teach Jesus Christ. There's a lot of false religions. But Jesus is writing letters to real churches, to real people, to real pastors. So I believe that inside these churches, even though the church is struggling, there is a remnant of people that are there. And with this remnant of people that are there, they are God's people, and they want to serve the Lord. And I think about how, even though Elijah says, it doesn't feel like anybody else is serving the Lord. And sometimes we get that depressing type mindset and thinking, it's all me. No, it's all God. And God's the one that works through us. And there were 7,000 that didn't. And sometimes people moan and groan in the fact that there's no other churches like us. And there's a lot of churches that are like us, wish there were more. Some of them are becoming dead. And that's why they're writing this. And they're saying, hey, look, you say that you're alive. You even act like you're alive. But he says, I know something about you. There's something wrong. Paul said this, it was written about Paul, God said to Paul, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee hurt for thee, for I have much people in the city. In Corinth, it was whether or not he should stay. And God says, look, there's still many people here. There was a remnant. God knows them. And it encourages me here. It says in verse number 4, not only does he know them, he says, thou hast a few names. He knows them. He knows their names. And sometimes you might feel like, I feel like I'm the only one ministering. I feel like I'm the only one close with the Lord. I feel like I'm the only one walking with the Lord. This is a message for them. And this is a message where sometimes you might get discouraged, but there wasn't many amongst them in this group that had not defiled their garments. God specifically speaks to them. God specifically talks to them. God is telling them there's something he wants them to do. And find it in verse number 2, it says, be watchful. We need people that are spiritually alert. Watch. Be watching for the return of the Lord Savior. Be watchful in all things. Be alert. Next thing he says, and strengthen the things which remain. I believe that this is written to those few names that are not struggling as much because of the fact they're the ones that are still continue on in the work. And they're the ones that are still serving. They're the ones that still love the Lord. They're the ones that are continually serving, even though their church and people that are around them are struggling. It says that thou art dead. He says, there's a few of you. It's going to die sooner or later unless you change things. So be watchful and strengthen those things that remain. Don't just give up. Don't just stop the soul winning. Don't stop the prayer times. Don't stop the preaching times. Yes, people might be struggling, but strengthen it. Continue to strengthen those things that remain, those things that you're doing right. Continue with that. Continue on doing those things. Don't give up and throw in the towel. Keep on serving the Lord. And maybe some other people who are dying, that are dead spiritually, and that need revival will be able to see God work and move. Then we see, it says here, it's easy to let things slip away. So that's the reason why we must strengthen those things that remain. It's easy to say, hey, let's stop having visitation, right? Because most people don't want to come. It's easy, let's not have a bus route because it's inconvenient. Let's stop having prayer time because, you know, it's a little bit challenging. That's what many churches have done with Sunday night service. Hey, we don't need church anymore on Sunday nights. It's a little bit inconvenient to us. And coming from a guy who's moved to Sunday night service to Saturday night, I know that. But there's a purpose for that. But I know you understand what I'm saying. Strengthen those things that remain. Don't if you're struggling with your family, don't stop having devotions with them, right? Don't stop praying with them. Don't stop praying with your mate. And we should be, as husbands and wives, able to pray with one another. And it continues on. It says, hold fast. And then he says, and repent. These remnant Christians needed, there's things that they need to repent of. But not only do they need to repent, but they need to lead others to do the same. We believe that we're the remnant amongst the church or amongst a group of people. And because everybody else has sins, everybody else is dead, and everybody else is doing all these things wrong, I don't look deep down inside myself. We must make sure our heart's right. There's something that's between me and the Savior. I must learn to repent of that. I don't need to keep on making the excuses because everybody else is doing something wrong. I need to look deep inside and say, I care about what God says about me. And I don't want to be like Abraham and have partial disobedience. I don't want to be like Abraham and not be and leave the place of the blessing because I don't feel like God can take care of me if I am a person that's poor in spirit, if I'm a person who learns to mourn over my sin, if I'm a person who is merciful and a person that has meekness and I'm a person that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, a person that faced persecution. In that place of blessing, Abraham left and he says, I can't trust God there. It got to be too tough. And he went down to the world and the world, he messed up because his thinking became wrong and became poisoned and all those other things like we learned about in Sunday school class. I encourage you today, make sure our hearts are right and then lead other people to show that their hearts are right too. Don't keep on living in your sin and just think, hey, I'm just not as bad as everyone else. If you really, truly want to see a church become a fire again, to be rekindled, we must learn to fall in love with the Lord again. And the way that happens is when there's others that say, I'm going to fall in love with the Lord. And I don't care what anybody else says. If there's something wrong in my heart, I want to repent. I want to lead others to repent. Who cares if everyone else thinks that we're all together? When the greatest need that we have is to be right with God and we want our church to be right with God, but we see no brokenness over our sins. We see no brokenheartedness over our sins. We see people that will act whatever way they want and continue to be having the wrong attitudes and the wrong dispositions when it comes to certain things and not ever truly want to be truly right with one another and truly right with the Lord. We see here that it's written to this church, hey, let's repent. And the reason why is not because of the fact that he wants to make you feel bad and rub your faces in it. It's because he wants you to be right with him. He wants you to be in that place of blessedness that he can look at and say, there is a church. Yes, the world knows they're alive. And I agree, they're alive too. They're serving the Lord and they're continuing on with their works. And they have a wonderful testimony. So what I'm encouraging you today is let's put our name on God's scales. Let's put our works on God's scales. Not on what everybody else says about you, whether it's praise or whether it's ridicule. Don't worry about that. For a second, let's say, how does God see my life? And I love certain litmus tests, fruits of the Spirit. Am I producing those? Go through, and tonight we're probably going to look at the idea, something about the love of God in 1 Corinthians 13. Boy, go home and read through that prayerfully and say, God, am I someone that is expressing the love of God to others? Am I someone who suffers long? Am I someone who's patient? And I, you know, when talking about charity, suffereth long, you know, all those different things, am I someone like that? And you'll find very quickly, there's many times something we need to get right. There's something we need to work on. Yes, you say, well, Pastor, I'm part of the remnant. He's talking to you. He's telling you, hey, look, be watchful, strengthen those things that remain and repent of it. And then it also uses the word remember there in verse number 3. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard. Why does he tell us to remember so often? It's because we forget so often. We forget. That's why we had the Lord's Supper on a regular basis, because he wants us to remember. But he's telling these churches, remember the things you've learned. Remember the things you heard. Don't leave these places just because you hear preaching, you hear teaching. Don't forget the things you've read in your devotion. Don't forget how God spoke in your heart. He says, remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. He says, don't forget. There are churches that are dead. Yes, in the community, they say they have a good name. Oh, yes, even in history, they might say they have a good name. Yes, there might be even lost people that says encouraging things. But what does God say? What does God say about this church in Sardis? Here it is. I know you. You're dead. I want you to get it right. Is there something we need to repent of? Remember, it's God that tries our hearts. It's God that tries our thoughts. It doesn't matter. We can make ourselves look good, but are we the ones that are in need of revival? And you see in verse number five, it talks about the names in eternity. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father, before his angels. Now, that book of life, and once again, it's not about the whole message, and you could probably spend the whole message on it, talking about the book of life, talking about the Lamb's book of life, how many times people believe there's two different ones, and when it's talking about blotting out the name, it's an interesting study, and we're not going to go through that study this morning for the sake of time, but the question is your name written down in the book of life? The Bible talks about how the disciples came back and they were excited about how the demons were obeyed them and how they healed people and things like that. And Jesus, and once again, this is not an exact quote, talks about, hey, don't be excited about those things. Be rejoicing that your name is written down in the book of life. Live for eternity. Forget what people think about you today when it comes in comparison to what will be like at the judgment seat of Christ. Will your name be associated with the best things and the things that matter in eternity? Will they be associated with what brought God glory? And then we even see here, there's kind of an interesting statement here. It says in verse number 5, he that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. It's similar to what's found in Mark 8:38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. It's talking about those who had a name, but they did not have a nature. Those who would profess to be a Christian, but never possessed eternal life. Are you truly saved? Are you truly someone whose name is written down? Are you a believer today? Have you had your sins forgiven? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Is your name written down in the Lamb's book of life? I want to encourage you today. Who cares what the world thinks? If you came forward and got your heart right and got saved today. I've said it before. I heard a preacher say, I wouldn't go to hell for anybody. And the idea that I wouldn't let somebody's opinion of me stop me from getting right with God. What does it matter if everybody else thinks you're saved and you spend all eternity in a horrible place called hell? If they're a true believer of God, they're going to rejoice with you that you're a brother and sister in Christ if you get your heart right. Not look in and say, well, I thought he was saved. Somebody does that, that's because they're dead. That's what they're talking about here. We need to strengthen those things that remain. When people get their hearts right, we need to rejoice with them. We need to come alongside. And as we learned last week, it's the end times. What should we do? We should edify one another. We should encourage one another. We should support the weak. We should warn those that are, you know, there was that long list of saying, pray without ceasing. In that 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, there is plenty of things that we should do in this day and time. Be more concerned with Christ's name than your own name. Be concerned with, yes, how others think of you, but be more concerned about what God thinks of you. This morning, I look at this and I read this message. It comes to verse number 6 and it closes all the time with this. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He says, I want you to listen to what's being said. And we've looked at all these different churches, and like I said, it's practical. It's because it's written to a church prophetically, because it's certain different age groups. And most people would say this would be the period of the Reformation type. There's a believing remnant, but the church is full of things that are dying. And then you also have it. It's something that's personal. How is it personal? We apply it to our lives. What I think about myself, what others say about me, what God really knows about me. Do they match? Now, once again, you can't control what other people say. Once again, I would love to be, hey, you're the most Christ-like person ever know, versus, hey, you're a hypocrite. You know, I've been called all those things. But I can seek God and say to God, God, I don't want to fool myself. Remember what I talked about, if we're a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, we're deceiving our own selves. God, I don't want to think myself more highly than I ought to. God, would you reveal unto me those things that you're displeased with? God, I want that letter written. God, will you take some time, get before the Lord, maybe get on our knees and say, God, I want to know what you think about me. I know what I think of myself. I know what others say about me. But the important thing is, God, do you see me struggling? Yes, everybody else says you're alive. Everybody else says I'm fine. Everybody else says, hey, you're a good Christian. Hey, you're a good man. But do you look at me and say, you're dead? They might say, hey, you're a good housewife, you're a good mom, you're a good this, you're a good church member. But God knows who we truly are. And yes, that's what others may say. And yes, there are those who God knows and God sees the remnant. And say, if you say, hey, pastor, I'm one of those people that I believe that I'm right with the Lord and I see things that seems like it's dying and I want to encourage that. I want to press the fire for it. I want to be praying for revival. I want to be strengthening those things that remain. I don't want to be giving up on things that we know are clearly biblical, which is how we treat one another, and we should be unified in the work of the Lord, and we should be ones that are soul winning and ones that are praying and ones that are studying our Bible and ones that are just trying to be scriptural Christians instead of giving up and saying no one else wants to act this way. Let's do what they say. Let's be watchful. Let's strengthen those things that remain. Let's remember the things we've been taught, and let's repent of anything that we need to get fixed, and then let's help live a life that will encourage others to repent and encourage others to do what's right. And we're never going to do that if we are too high and mighty to really get right with the Lord ourselves. We sit there and we let our own sins be something that we're okay with. But he tells this group, hey, look, it's going to die if it doesn't change. And so this morning, I want to encourage you. As a church that I think that I love and I love the people and I think we have a good church, but there are things that we don't take as much consideration for. There are some things that we need to strengthen and need to have a renewed effort to do. Our relationships with one another is one of those things. Forgiving one another, encouraging one another, putting off the works of the flesh, putting on the works, being a soul-winning church, people that are going out seeking the Lord, praying for one another, faithfulness, not just being dependable, but living a life of faith. You say, pastor, I'm one of those that are part of that remnant. Great, then let's pray and let's be watchful. You say, pastor, I'm one of those that everybody might think I'm good, but really inside I'm falling apart and I don't really care about the work of the Lord very much at all. I'm struggling too much. Number one, make sure you're saved. Number two, let's get it right. Let's not be a church that's full of dead people. Let's be a church that loves the Lord. Once again, we made all these applications. We looked at it and said, hey, how you left your first love at the church of Ephesus. We talked about the persecution in the church. We talked about that church that let that Jezebel come in and teach false doctrine. We talked about all these different things. We talked about the Laodicea church. We applied the Laodicea church. Well, hey, we think we're good, but God says that we're naked and that we're destitute and all those other things. Let's ask ourselves these questions today. Yes, I know what I think of myself. I know what others say about me. But what does God think about me today? Is he pleased with me? Because if not, let's change something. This morning, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, do not leave this place without coming to a saving knowledge of him. You can be saved even today. Your names can be written down. And to the majority in this room that I know that are believers on their way to heaven, this Church of Sardis kind of makes it a little bit close and personal. Because we're talking about revival. We should be excited about the things of God. Do you have a fresh desire to serve him? Do you love him more today than you did yesterday? Do you love him greater than any other point in your life? Have you fallen back in some areas, in some ways? He says, I want you to repent. I want you to remember. I want you to strengthen those things that remain. Be watchful. And that's why I'd encourage the remnant. Hey, let's make sure we're right so we can encourage others to be right. How hypocritical it is us to point at others and say, hey, you need to get right with God. When in our own hearts, we're away from him. Who cares if we look really good to the rest of the world? And everybody else thinks we're saved if we're really truly on the way to hell. That would be ridiculous, right? Who cares if everybody thinks that we're super Christian when inside we're struggling because our relationship with God is struggling because we're not doing the things we should? Let's ask God to work in our lives today. Let's pray.